number 37. Reminded of the story that the little fellow was in church with his dad. And it was an old traditional church that had the stained glass windows in it. And the little boy looked up and he saw where one of the windows had been broken out. And then rather than wait for the stained glass to get there, they'd put a substitute pane of clear glass in there. And the little boy looked up there and he says, "What's that doing in that window?" And the dad explained to him that the window had been broken out and that was a substitute. And when the real pane come in there, they would put it back in there. Well, it just so happened a couple Sundays later, the pastor was on vacation. And they had a special speaker in there. And the little boy asked his dad, he says, "Who's that?" And the dad explained, "Well, the pastor's on vacation. That's a substitute." "Oh, okay." He said, "Just like the window and the glass and so on like that." And the guy got done speaking and the little boy said, "Boy, that was a good message. He's no substitute. He's a real pain. So I'll try to be a real pain for you this morning. I can be a real pain. But Daryl's up here to keep me straight." Psalm number 37. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shall be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and the judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Lord, we pray that you add your blessing to the reading of your word today and the speaking of your word. And we pray, Lord, that out of this passage of Scripture, there'll be something for everybody that's within the sound of this voice. And I pray, Lord, that we will push out the things of the world for just a short time this morning and let the word of God sink into our hearts. And Lord, we know that not everything in here is here for everybody, but we know there's something for everybody here. And Lord, help us to go through your cafeteria this morning and take out what fits our lives and what fits our needs for this day. We pray for our pastor as he is away and baptizing Ezra this morning. And we pray, Lord, for Ezra that she'll have her life, and she'll give that life to her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, starting at the age of 6 or 7, whatever she is this morning. She has a whole life that she can give to you, and we pray, Lord, that none of it will be wasted. Bless us today from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture talks about trusting and delighting and committing and resting. And those are four things that you and I as Christians need to do. And the key to that we find in verses 1, verses 7, and verses 8. Fret not. Three times. Fret not. because of. That is, those that aren't saved. You fret about the seeming blessings of the ungodly people. We fret because they sometimes have an easy time. I know the fellow that serves the Lord. He attends church regularly. He tithes. He gives to missions. He teaches. He witnesses. He does everything that he knows to do to serve the Lord. And he drives an old clunker. And he looks across the street. And there his neighbor pulls in a Cadillac. Neighbor pulls in a brand spanking new Cadillac and unloads his beer out of the trunk. And he gets wear the best and the latest of all the fashions. They take a vacation in Hawaii every year for 3 years. And all the latest gadgets in the yard. I looked out across the street and this fellow across the street has a zero turn mower. And he has one of those little things that you ride around in there, Daryl. What do they call it? No, the little thing. Yeah. John Deere. I don't know what they call them. Anyhow, one of those little carts that you run around in to haul stuff in the yard. He's got about a quarter of an acre, maybe. And he's got enough equipment there to take care of the ranch out there. And I thought to myself, you know, this guy has got more money and he's got good sense. But one thing I noticed on Sunday morning, none of the vehicles ever move out of the driveway. But the one thing that I learned, God doesn't always pay on Friday. You notice that? God always pays, but he doesn't have a payday on Friday. And the Lord says, don't fret yourself. If you will delight in the Lord, you'll have your joy back. And it's important for a Christian to have her joy. And sometimes we get in places where we question our joy and we lose our joy because of what the unsaved are doing and the seemingly blessings that they have that we don't have. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. We short ourselves sometimes of God's pleasure because we don't pray. We miss the blessings of God, the fellowship that we have with God is with prayer. God speaks to us out of the Bible. We speak to God in prayer and we talk back and forth. And we get overly concerned about the unsaved. But you got to remember, the difference is in the retirement plan. I don't like the devil's retirement plan. It's just not worth a hoot. God's got a good one. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 9, blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loves Israel forever. Therefore made he thy king. I can't read my own writing. Used to be when I was right-handed, I could write reading. Now that I'm forced to be left-handed, I can't write reading, or I can't read by writing. So bear with me if you would. God delighted in Solomon because he prayed. Not only because he prayed, but when he prayed, he asked for the right things. God set Solomon over the throne of David, and over the children of Israel, and he didn't ask for money, didn't ask for a lot of wives, didn't ask for power over his enemies, but he asked God for wisdom to be able to rule the children of Israel properly. And God delighted in that, the Bible says, and blessed Solomon because of it. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27, we see the words of Laban. I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Laban knew that God's blessings spilled over onto him because God was delighted in Jacob. God was delighted in Israel. We see Elisha following Elijah. And he saw the chariot of fire. He knew that the blessings of God was on Elijah, and he wanted it. And he followed and made sure that he got it. There are five things that you and I as Christians need to delight in. Not just be content with, but actually delight. Do you know the difference between being content and delighting? We look forward to delighting in something. You know, from where I am in assisted living, I delight in a chocolate milkshake. Oh, that is a delight. After water and watered down tea and all the other choices you have to drink, a chocolate milkshake is something that I can delight in. There are five things, at least five things, and we're going to look at five, that we need to delight in. First of all, we need to delight ourselves in the Word of God. America has been blessed by the freedom of worship. Do you know that if you were in North Korea and if you're found with a Bible in your house, it costs you your life? You die. You're dead. Just because of having a Bible in your house. And not only that, you got to worry because all your neighbors are going to rat you out. In the United States of America, we don't have to worry about that. 95% of the world doesn't have the freedom to worship that we have. 95% of the world. That's a lot. In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate both day and night. One of the things I think we have forgotten is how to meditate. You know, the old fellow retired, and they said, what are you doing since you retired? Well, he says, I sit. And he says, sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit. And we have lost the ability or the desire to just sit and think. Do you ever take a passage of Scripture and just meditate on it? Just read it, let it sink into your heart, and then meditate on what that Scripture means for you. This Scripture's no good unless you apply it to your life. We have to take time and sit down. And we're so busy out there trying to scratch ourselves out a living and keep the wolf away from the door, we forget that we need to have time to meditate. Find out for yourself, out of the Word, what God would have you to have for the day. Now, we all know how to carry our Bibles, and we come in with our Bible under our arm, and we know the proper way to do that. And we know that if you're a man, you do it one-handed, because everybody will know that you've got a Bible in your hand. We all know how to carry our Bibles. And we all know, I think, how to search for something and find it in the Bible. We have our Strong's concordances and we have our Bibles with concordances, and we know how to find things that we want to find. But we miss finding the truth for ourselves because we fail to meditate. Think about that. A lot of times we do things without thinking. It's sort of like the sports writer. The Barnesville Muskrat Times obituary writer went on vacation. So they got the sports writer. Somebody died while the obituary writer was gone, so they got the sports writer to fill in. And of course, he didn't think too much of it. He just wrote the obituary. And I didn't put a lot of thought in it, but this is what he wrote in the Barnesville Muskrat Times. Here lies the bones of Sally Jones. For her, life held no terrors. She lived an old maid. She died an old maid. No hits, no runs, no errors. That's what happens when we don't meditate. We don't get the job done that needs to be done. In Psalm 119, verse 24, says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and counselors." Psalm 119, verse 77, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight." Psalm 119, verse 92, "Unless the law had been my delight, I should have perished in my afflictions." Can you say, the Word of God has the answer for me, and it's my delight to find out what the Lord wants me to do? We ought to be able to do that. As we get in the Word of God every day and we seek guidance from the Lord, we ought to be able to say, I know what the Lord wants me to do because He's led me to something in the Word of God that leads me down the right path. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." The best sermon in the world does no good when you don't do anything about it. You've got to do something about it. We are blessed here at Bible Baptist Church with one of the best Bible teachers and Bible preachers that I've ever sat under. I'm 85 years old, and I've sat under a few. And I can't just sit under everybody. But we are blessed with a fantastic preacher, but not only a fantastic preacher, but a fantastic teacher. And I have never, in the years that I've been at Bible Baptist Church, been bored by a sermon that come out of this pulpit by our preacher, our pastor. We are blessed. You got to do something about it, though. I wonder sometimes, are we afraid to trust God? You know, we know what God tells us to do, and we know how He leads us, but sometimes we say, God, are you sure about that? That wouldn't be something I would do. You know, something we would do will get us in trouble every time. But are we afraid to really trust in God and what He leads us to do? Sometimes I think we are. God's Word, though, is accurate, and God's Word is true, and it's always accurate, and it's always true. So we need to delight ourselves in God's Word. We need to delight ourselves in God's day. Isaiah 53, verse 13 and 14, "If thou turn away the foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on thy holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him in doing thine own pleasure, not speaking thine own pleasure, not speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride up on the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob the father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Now, talks about the Sabbath. We know the difference between the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. In the Old Testament, the Jews had to work 6 days in order to get their rest. And they weren't sure of their salvation. They weren't. They didn't have that assurance. But if they worked hard enough, on the seventh day they would have their rest. In the Bible, in the New Testament, we start out with our rest. God sent His only begotten Son to Calvary's cross paid the price for our sins. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we enter into our rest. And then we work 6 days to serve. And we don't serve to be saved. We are saved and then we serve. So our rest comes first. And that's the difference between the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. And you'll see, after the Lord was resurrected, everything was done on the Lord's Day. Before that, it was always on the Sabbath. Do you know that the unsaved watch what we do on the Lord's Day? They watch your driveway to see whether your car comes out and heads towards Sunday school. They watch to see whether you've got your work clothes on or a necktie. They know the difference. The unsaved know more about you than you do. And they watch you and they know the difference between the Lord's Day and every other day of the week. We need to delight in God's house on God's day. John chapter 20, we see the disciples, and they were there on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day. Acts chapter 7 talks about the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, they brought their tithes and their offerings to God's house on the Lord's Day. You and I need to do something for God on the Lord's Day. First of all, we need to be in attendance. We need to be in God's house. We need to put away the cares of the world and the things that are so rightly cause us not to serve and just sit down. I can remember as a kid at home, we were farmers. The cows had to be milked. Pigs had to be slopped. Chickens had to be fed. That stuff got all taken care of. But then we went to church. And we came back from church, had a nice big Sunday dinner, and nobody ever did anything. Maybe we would visit, or we'd have visitors. You didn't put up hay. You didn't go work in the fields. You didn't go grub willows down by the creek bed just to stay busy. You sat. Sunday afternoon, you sat. Sunday night, you went back to church. Because that was the Lord's day. And everybody knew that. The Lord, if you follow Him in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, as His custom was, He went to the synagogue. The Lord went to the temple on the Lord's day. We need to do something special for the Lord's day, but not just for the Lord's day. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when God's house is to God's, when the doors to God's houses open up, we need to be there. I can remember my life changed drastically because of World War II. My dad was a farm all tractor dealer in Fraseysburg, Ohio. And World War II broke out, couldn't get tractors. He took a job at Goodyear Aircraft in Akron, Ohio. My aunt and uncle, my mom's brother, invited them to a tent meeting at the Akron Baptist Temple in Akron, Ohio. Don't remember much about it. I was maybe 3 or 4 years old, but I remember the sawdust, the wood chips on the floor, and I remember my mom and dad getting up and going forward in that tent meeting. I remember that much. Never forget it. But my life changed from that day forward. From that day forward, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when the church doors were open, we were there. Made a change in my life, and at the age of 10, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. All because of being at the right place at the right time. We needed to delight in the Word. We needed to delight in God's day. But we also need to delight in God's will. In Psalms chapter 40 and verse 8, I will delight to do thy will, O my God. Psalms 37 verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in His will. Christ was obedient. He was God the Son, but He still went to church on Sunday. And He still sought the will of the Father. When He prayed, He sought the Father's will. We have a missionary that we support, Boner Andaya, in the Philippines. And a good friend of mine, back in 1978, sent Boner to me from the Philippines. My friend was a missionary in the Philippines. And he sent Boner over here. He said, if you want to do something for God, you need to raise some support. You don't have anything to work with. Their wage scale was $1.50 a day. And he was trying to start churches and trying to do something for the Lord with no means. And Rich sent Boner over to me, and I booked him some meetings and got him started. I told him one, I said, whenever you go into a church, you ask the pastor who his cronies are. And tell him to set you up a couple of meetings with his cronies. And he got started, and he went back. That series that he was here, I think he was here for 3 months, and he went back with $6,000 in 1978, which in the Philippines was like having a small fortune. Today, Boner has started between 35 and 40 churches in the Philippines, and his son is carrying on that ministry in Mindanao, and his son has already started 3 churches down there. Rich Abney was the missionary's name that sent Boner to me. Rich Abney has an 11-year-old daughter that's buried in the Philippines. She was laid to rest. He was in the will of God. He was where God wanted him to be. And because of his being in there, in the Philippines, he sent a national pastor to the United States that became a tremendous church planter and still going on. Last time Boner was over there, he's 75 now. I asked him, I said, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? He said, well, he says, I'd like to start at least 2 churches a year. And he says, I would like to write my memoirs. But he says, above all, he says, I want to finish strong. And I've never forgotten that now. And I write in the page of my Bible, when I come across something like that, I'll write on the edge, finish strong. We all need to finish strong. We need to stay in the will of God. I know when I surrendered to go to Bible college, I had a chain of sales lots, mobile home sales lots. It circled Columbus, 5 lots. And I turned my back on the mobile home business because that was not God's will. Make God's will first. Delight to do His will. We need to delight in His saints. Psalm 16 and verse 3. But to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. One of the churches that I was associated with, we had a problem in the church because we had old people and we had young people. Now that doesn't sound like much of a problem, does it? One of the things that we've been blessed with here is we have old people like Daryl and we have young people like Joel and Travis and everywhere in between. And since Lewis has come here, he's been a magnet for the younger people. Us old people, we get along just fine. Our pastor's in his 60s, fantastic. He can minister to us. We understand everything he says. Some of the people in their 20s don't. But a young associate pastor attracts those people. We started a program to mix the younger ones with the older ones. And every 3 months we would change the group. Six families. Two old goats in their families. Two middle-aged people in their families. And two young people in their families. And they would get together once a month and have just a fellowship together, maybe a meal, a cookout or whatever, and just spend time together. And we called that mixed nuts. Now we have that here. Some of you and some of us, I should say, some of us are a little nuttier than some of the others, but we're all nuts. And we need to be mixed. We need to associate young and old. But we need to delight ourselves in the saints, in the young ones, mom and dad. We need to put them under our wing and teach them some of the things that we learned the hard way. And hope they don't have to learn it the same way. But we need to delight ourselves in the saints. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Some of us are hard to love, but nevertheless, we've got to love each other. Lastly, we need to delight in his mercy. In Psalm chapter 94 and verse 19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Do you ever stop and just think of where you would be if you hadn't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Where in the world? I know I look back and I shudder to think of what I could have become if God hadn't stepped in and stop me. What about the cost of your salvation? Many of us here have children. Would we be willing to send one of our children to Calvary's Hill to die for the sins of the world? I don't think so. But God sent his only begotten Son to Calvary's cross. Not only for our salvation, but for the salvation of our loved ones. Do you ever stop and think about the way that he's watched over you and met your needs? I can remember when I was in high school, we used to go to the Cruise Inn, drive-in theater. Pritchard Laughlin is on that site now. They had Buck Night, and we would fill the car. Get as many as you can, everybody for a dollar. We pulled out of there one night. We had a big decision to make. Were we going to go to Chow's restaurant and get our nickel cup of coffee, or were we going to go to the Mecca drive-in and get our nickel cup of coffee? Go to the left, go to the right. So we pulled up and stopped. And while we were stopped, there were three cars past us. And all of a sudden, there was a cloud of dust. And I looked out there, and a semi had veered across the road. This fellow had pulled out into the street and stalled his car. And the semi had veered behind him. Well, he got his car started, and he backed up. Well, the semi had a 5-ton roll of steel on it that dropped on the car where we would have been had we driven out. That car, I will never forget for as long as I live. I knew the kids that were in it. It was a 49 Ford, and it mashed it down to the trim stripe about a foot or a foot and a half off the ground. Our carload would have been dead had not the mercies of the Lord saved us from that. God has watched over you, and he's watched over me, and he's met our needs. I would not trade that matchless love revealed at Calvary, where Jesus shed his precious blood an offering just for me. A revelation of God's plan to set the captive free. I would not trade with any man. It means so much to me. I would not trade the constant peace that dwells within my breast. A peace serene with full release, which giveth rest, sweet rest. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, I cannot anxious be. I would not trade for all the world. It means so much to me. I would not trade the lasting joy for any worldly pleasure. For joy is strength. Thus says the Word, and this I highly treasure. I praise the Lord for this today. This joy belong beyond all measure. I would not trade, let come what may. It means so much to me. Father, help us not just to read the Word, not just to study the Word, not just to trace down the things that are in the Word, but to delight in the Word and delight in the way that You've taken care of us and all the things that go with it. I pray, Lord, that these here, if there's any within the sound of this voice this morning, have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today will be the day of their salvation. They'll not let the sun go down on this day without knowing that they've got a home in heaven that they can go to when they get done with this world. Help us to delight and to trust and commit and to cease from our wanderings and to rest in Your holy Word today and Your will. Help us to enjoy the fellowship of the saints and the preaching of Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.